meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Welcome to Loveline. And this is neither Adam Carolla nor Dr. Drew. This is Dr. Bruce. And unfortunately, Dr. Drew is in Toronto. And as you know, there's a blackout in Toronto. So I am filling in for Dr. Drew. And folks, this is a night I've been waiting for a long time. This is a night when I am here and Adam Carolla is late. And if you know anything about my exploits filling in for Dr. Drew, I recently...
Yeah!
Oh, no! I'm getting... I was just ready to go into my diatribe about you.
Oh,
you're late.
Oh, I would have made it if not for that goddamn red arrow at the corner. God damn it, I was there. I had it. I was honking. It was turning orange in the cars. I was like on the horn. It was like, you pussy, go.
No, and now, stop. You know how long I've waited for you to be late and me to be here without you here?
Wait, what time is it? What are you talking about?
Poor Drew.
Oh, these goddamn red arrows in this godforsaken town. Just sitting there rotting at the red arrow.
Just
traffic
plan
clear.
Ahead. Plan ahead, Adam.
But do you understand and by the way, I know you're at the helm.
I'm in control.
You being at the helm is like your retarded five-year-old piloting the space shuttle. It's a very frightening thought.
Listen, I went through 30 seconds without stuttering until you opened the door, and then
it was 4 seconds. It felt like 30. That was the thing. You understand that I'm sitting on Venice Boulevard, and I can see so far ahead of me, I'm seeing the Earth curve.
Oh.
You understand? I'm seeing the horizon fall away, and not a set of headlights in front of me, but that red arrow. That's red, and I'm just staring at the clock. When are we going to do something about these red arrows?
I don't know. All that horsepower and nowhere to go. Oh. Adam.
Let me say this. I've said it 1,000 times. I'll say one more, and then we're going right into the show here. Right into the show. All we ever talk about is public transportation, mileage, diamond lanes. We got to open up another freeway. We got to do this. We got to get this town moving. Let me tell you how to get this town moving. Get people to shake their goddamn ass. I'll move this town 30% faster. You know what I'm going to treat? Here's what this town needs to be like. It needs to be like a factory. We're not adding on. We're not adding equipment. We're not getting any more new employees. We're going to pick up productivity.
Mm-hmm.
Get people moving. No use having a big stack of cars waiting at the goddamn red arrow when there's nothing going on. Couldn't turn left. Couldn't be trusted to turn left. Can't do it. Did it on the last signal. Go do it on the next signal. Can't do it on this one. This is a special, magical signal that no one can turn left on.
You know, I'm just...
Jesus Christ. I encourage everyone to drive through those things. I would have driven through them. I drive around cars that are stopped in front of me and go around them. That's how I will die, going through a red arrow. Everyone go through them.
Adam, calm down. Aren't you concerned about Drew? You haven't mentioned anything about
him. What about him?
He's in Toronto.
Drew. Where's Drew?
He's in Toronto.
Oh.
There's a blackout. Aren't you concerned? Aren't you going to say anything?
What's he doing over there?
He's
acting, please. he's doing the Olsen Twins movie over there.
Right.
He's playing their father. He's in Toronto. There's a blackout. He would have been on the air tonight, but there is a blackout. So he called Dr. Bruce, and God bless. I called phone screener Brian when I was on the freeway at about 9:58, and I said, do we get Drew tonight? And he's like, no. And I was like, who's in the studio? And he's like, I don't know. Which was still better than Dr. Bruce at that point. But that, I kid, no. Bruce, great guy, great individual, great human being. All right, God bless you. 1-800-LOVE-191. Drew, Toronto, blackout. Still blacked out there?
Yeah, they said till tomorrow morning for Toronto is the last I heard. Of course, that
would really?
Be. Yes.
We had one out here about a year ago. I was going to kill myself.
Yeah.
Like, I got home. I had to sit alone with my thoughts.
Ah.
I had to masturbate using only memory. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's
like I went nuts. Like if I don't watch 15 hours of compressed TiVo, what I do is I take about 15 hours of programming on the TiVo and I mash it into about 1 hour and 55 minutes when I get home every night. If I don't get that, I go insane.
Hmm.
Thank God I had my wine. That's my only friend, you know.
Now I went through the 65 and 77 blackouts.
Oh really?
From New York.
Yeah. How long was that blacked out?
Yeah. Oh, actually, I didn't go through the 77.
Yeah, no, but who cares what happened in 65? You didn't have
people
anything.
People were nice, no rioting.
You didn't have anything to plug in. What were you missing? An 8-track?
My tape recorder.
You didn't have anything. you had like a mandolin. Oh, and a pillow used to hump. You didn't have anything to plug
it was
in
all
back then.
Baseball and WABC.
All right, but the point is you TV signed off at midnight
it
back
did
then.
Not.
You didn't have anything to
how
watch. Now
you.
I got things. I got ceiling fans. I got simulated vaginas.
Oh, I don't want to know.
I got everything that runs off electricity.
Okay. Calm down.
All right, let's rock. Samantha.
Yeah.
You're 14.
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Not much. I have a question.
All right.
Go ahead.
All right. You guys were talking about gynecologists like a few minutes ago.
Yeah. Well, that was last night's show. At Dr. Bennett, and he's a gynecologist.
Oh, okay. Well, it was like on like tonight's radio and everything.
Right, right. That's a day delay.
Oh, okay. Well, I have a question. But,
all right.
Like, I heard from other people, like my friends that gone to the gyno. They said that they have to see it, like, as soon as they start their period and stuff.
Yeah.
I started my period, like, a couple years ago, and I've never been to the gyno.
All right. Well, here's what Dr. Ben, the gynecologist, said last night, which I was a little bit surprised at, but it made sense, which is they've now rethought some of this.
If you're not sexually active,
you don't have to see the gynecologist just because you start your period. And as a matter of fact, you don't really have to see a gynecologist until you become sexually active, even if you're 23 years old.
Okay.
So, Samantha?
Yeah.
You're fine.
Okay.
Unless you're sexually active.
Well, I'm a virgin, so.
Good, stay that way.
Right.
You get married.
That's right. Get married at 15. All right, baby doll. Keep that virginity.
Oh, by the way, you have a kick-ass show.
Thanks. Take care.
Thanks, you too.
God bless. All right, looking good.
Which show is she talking about?
I'm not sure. Oh. Let's, couldn't be this one. Angela?
Yes.
You're 14? No, you're 22. What's up?
May of last year, I had an abortion. And I was in a relationship with this person. And I got really, I guess, my feelings towards him changed completely from loving him to basically just doing anything and everything to piss him off and get rid of him. And it didn't really work. I mean, he stayed by my side and he put up with a lot of shit.
Oh, hold on. Listen, Tardo, you can't drop the S-bomb. I gotta put her on hold. Let her adjust her attitude. Give her mouth an abortion.
How long do we punish her?
I don't know. I usually say a couple of minutes and then I forget about them. Or I forget that I said I was gonna punish them and go back to them immediately. Either way, it involves forgetting.
I think she's ready.
All right. She's ready?
She's
ripe. Angela?
Yes.
Stop cussing.
Bitch.
Okay. So anyway, you had the abortion. You got angry at your boyfriend. You tried to drive him away. It didn't work. He showered you with love. And now what?
Basically, now I realize that, you know, he's a really good person and I want to be with him. And now he doesn't know what he wants. And I'm kind of going through what I put him through. And I don't even know why I did it.
Yeah.
And
well,
I don't know what to do to, you know, work right through what he's going through.
All right. Well, how long have you guys been together?
2 years and a few weeks.
2 years. And you come from chaos?
What sort of chaos?
Your family.
And you're growing up. Was it
any
pretty
problems?
Crazy?
I'm sorry, what?
Any problems growing up?
Yeah. I mean, probably like most of the callers, abusive and alcoholic father.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's why you drive him away. You can't handle the intimacy. You freak out. It's just a whole big yo-yo cycle.
Plus, throwing an abortion into the mix, you have a situation where you're not married. You guys are living together, though, right?
No.
Broken up.
Not anymore.
Well,
you were living together, though, when that...
Yeah.
In sin, as Bruce likes to call it.
Yeah, no, actually, I wouldn't call it that. But you would look at going to a therapist if you're wanting to get back together, because when you have that kind of a stress in a relationship, there are a lot of questions that come up. Having an abortion, you don't have the stress of dealing with the pregnancy, but there are many other issues, and there's a lot of other baggage that goes along with that. So If it's something that he's willing to go to therapy with you and try and salvage the relationship. Otherwise, it's, you know, it is very chaotic, as Adam's saying, and it would sometimes point to...
No, this is never going to work. Angela. Here's why it's doomed. You come from chaos. The second things settle down, you're going to stir it up again. If you think he wants to be with you, you're going to push him away. If you think he doesn't want to be with you, you're going to chase after him, and the cycle will continue.
So she should move on. But what should she do before she moves on so she doesn't repeat the same?
Okay, here's have you ever got any therapy for all the stuff you've been through, all the abuse and everything?
No.
All right, that's what you have to do. No kids, no husbands. No boyfriends.
Is what Adam's saying make sense? Therapy. Does it make sense to you? Are you following what he's saying?
Yeah, I'm following what he's saying as far as the therapy and everything. It's just that I don't think that with how I feel that I want to go through this cycle and I don't want to do this anymore.
I know, but you do and you have and you will. It's not a matter of what you do and don't want to do. You know, junkie doesn't want to slam heroin. They just do. Yeah, all the things, by the way, that are bad that people do to themselves, they never really want to do. People really don't want to get strung out. They don't want to abuse other people that bad. They don't want to kill themselves. They don't want to do a lot of stuff, but they end up doing it anyway because it's powerful.
But, Angela, it sounds like she has enough insight to realize there's a problem that needs...
All she needs is enough insight to recognize my insight. That's really all. It's all the insight you guys need. Just don't argue with me. All right, read a book. Start listening to some classical music.
Read Drew's book.
When it comes out.
Isn't that out?
I don't know. I don't think so. Listen, here's what everyone needs to do. Everyone thinks I'm a madman. Start listening to classical music and start exercising. Clear your brain out.
Yeah, and how old were you when you started doing those things?
44.
Yeah, okay, so. Give me some 20-year-old advice. If somebody called and said they were doing that at 20, you would then
no. Here's the problem. Everyone who calls this show, listens to this show, or has heard of this show, needs therapy. That's the unfortunate part. But these people are calling from a bum F, and they're 19, and they're working at a Quickie Mart, and they got nothing, and it's just not going to happen.
Well, if you create the insight in that individual, I've heard you do it through comedy,
but never ingenious analogies. We don't help anyone.
Oh, okay.
Okay, what they can do, though, you know what it's like? Okay, I'll tell you what our listeners, I'll tell you what it's like. Here's another one of my genius analogies. It'd be nice, it's like they need physical rehab, and it'd be nice if they could go to a rehab center and work on state-of-the-art equipment, but they're in a drunk tank in Riverside, and all they got is what they got in their drunk tank. So here's what I'm telling them. Do push-ups on the floor. Use the sprinkler bar to do some chin-ups and fill some milk cartons with some water and do some curls. We're making do. Telling them to go to the rehab center and have a orthopedic physician. This is never going to work. Happen. Not going to happen. And when I tell them, get a Walkman, put some classical music on, and start jogging around their block, that's that version of doing push-ups in the drunk tank. That'll help. Read a book. There's many, many good books on the conditions you guys are all having and feeling now. Go get one and read it.
How about church? Are we going to have that discussion?
Yeah, that's right. Put that Walkman on and go to church. That's where you relax. You catch some Z's. Bruce is right. Door's always open.
That's see what technology you can steal. I missed out on when
that's
I was...
That's right. Yeah, go to church. Okay. Find Jesus. There you go. All right, where are we? Who do you want to talk to? Line six?
Sticker back.
Oh, okay, you want line six?
Yeah.
Let's talk to James. James?
Yes, sir.
You're 17?
Yes, sir.
What's up?
Well, I'm 17, and I'm still in school playing football, and I'm a senior.
Uh-huh.
And I just moved in with my girlfriend. We got a house together, and I was wanting to know if it's like normal or something, because we've known each other all our lives and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If what? Did you sort of fade out there?
Hold on.
Hey, James? Oh, okay, sorry,
something
buddy.
Faded.
Hold on. Okay.
All right. All right. We got as long as you got.
He's okay. Putting you on.
I was going to put $100 he was going to work in if it at some point, but he said if it. Really disappointed me. James?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you're playing football.
Yes,
living
sir.
With your girlfriend.
Yes, sir.
You guys have been living together for how long?
About 2 months.
About 2 months.
But you've known her your whole life, you said.
Yes, sir.
And you guys...
grown up together.
I see. You guys have your own house.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Hold on.
You have a military background? What's the sir?
Quiet. I'm going to close my eyes and picture what that house looks like. Corduroy sofa out on the porch. Dog possibly dead on it, waiting to die. Foil. I see foil up on the windows.
No.
Yeah, I see foil. I see some foil on the windows. James?
Yes, sir.
Any foil up on the windows?
No, sir.
No. Not even during the hot summer months?
Sir?
Reflect some of that radiant heat coming in?
No. No?
All right. All right, so how do you support yourself?
I get a check off my dad, and basically he died about a year and a half ago.
Hmm. What happened?
He got in a car wreck.
Hmm. Sorry to hear that. And some insurance gives you money?
Basically, yes.
You get enough to live off of?
Yes, sir.
How much you get?
How much do I get?
Yeah.
$552.
And your girlfriend works?
Yes, sir.
Oh.
All right. What's rent on the house?
$185.
Wow.
That's a storage shed costs that much out here.
Parking spots.
You need a parking?
Oh, listen. Spots are much more than that.
Yeah, like I got buddies who live in New York, spend like $450 a month on their parking spot.
And they're walking there.
The guy walks 6 blocks to get his car, and he's like, hey, could I have my car today? And the guy's like, blow me. You know I need 3 days at notice.
So, James.
Yes. 180 what? 185 bucks?
Probably a decent place. Are you down by the coast there,
boy? Sure. It's beautiful.
Oh, he's in Alabama. Where are you in Alabama?
Lower Alabama. Like near Holmes County and Dothan and Mobile.
Beautiful country, beautiful people.
Yeah.
Know it well.
So you're 17, you got an 18-year-old girlfriend, and the issue here is you change a lot. At age 17, age 18 for her, in the next 5 years, you're two completely different people. If you start having kids...
Oh, no. And, listen, James.
Sir?
James, what's birth control out there, about a nickel a month?
I wouldn't know.
What's like a gallon of gas? 4 cents, a loaf of bread's a penny? What do things cost out there in Alabama?
A Pepsi or a drink is like $1.09 with tax.
With tax. All right. All right.
Pack of cigarettes, Marlboro Lights, $5 or $4.
$4?
It's not a time warp.
A little pricey. Yeah. All right. And, okay. All right, so listen, James.
Yes, sir.
Do not get her pregnant. That is your number one goal. I can hear it in your voice. This is not too far away for you. You are you using birth control?
Am I?
Is she?
Nuh-uh.
Well, don't you think you might get her pregnant?
Well, we want to.
You want to get pregnant?
Yes, sir.
But James...
is there one major reason you're calling? Like, does she beat you, or do you beat her? Or is there like
it'd be
some...
funny if she beat you.
Is there something in the back of your mind that you want to tell us that may be a problem?
We've been together like 5 months. We'll be the 17th of this month, right?
Mm-hmm.
And within them 5 months, to me, we've broke up. Well, we've broke up at least 5 times within the 5 months. But for some reason... when I leave, get down the road, I got to come right back.
I understand. That's hillbilly love. And by the way, it's not them. It's them there. By the way, just when you're putting that into a sentence. Hey, James.
Yes, sir.
This is. I know it just sounds like. I know you can't hear anything I say. I mean, you can audibly hear it, but I don't know if it actually penetrates. But please listen when I say that you guys cannot have a kid. That you guys may break up 100 times in the next 20 minutes, and the kid thing is not going to work.
Right, and that
it's never going to work. Though he's going to have 5 kids in the next 18 months.
But that's a classic.
It'll never work. It's never going to work.
No, it's not going to work.
You know he's going to have a kid. You know she's going to be pregnant. She will be pregnant by the time the summer's through.
No, he's calling in. He has a sense.
She will give birth to a cider jug.
Now he has a sense of something wrong. This is a guy with some insight.
Insight. He's going to knock her up tonight.
Listen, he should take his check, take 20% of the check every month, and see a therapist and find out why he needs to come back.
They don't allow therapists in Alabama. One tried to enter the state in 1971 and was killed. They strung him up.
Okay.
They're like, we don't like you boys with your suede patches on your elbow pads and sleeves there. What there? Look at him. He's got a beard. I think he may be a Jew.
I think wasn't the Man Show real popular in Alabama? In fact, you have a fan club there. I'd say that you shouldn't be so hard on those people.
All right, James, don't get her pregnant. Please. Just don't go.
James.
Don't talk to James anymore.
No. It's not live there anyway, is it?
All right.
I was going to beg him to see a therapist. But
they don't have therapists.
They do have therapists.
Rent is $185 a month, for Christ's sake. He gets like $525 from his dad's death fund. This is never going to work. Never beg him to see a therapist. Please, he's 17.
You should use your powers as a pedagogue for some good rather than just your...
Pedagogue means I like young dudes, right?
I think that's a different...
Is that what that is?
No, I think it's somebody that you...
Whatever, guilty.
Yeah, right.
You're guilty. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to speak to Linnell, who gave her boyfriend a BJ for the first time today. And
she's afraid of getting a disease. It's infectious disease education time.
All right.
Oral gonorrhea.
All right, Dr. Bruce... Filling in quite nicely Dr. Drew. And no hair gel tonight either, but still feeling good.
It's out my car. Oh, my God.
Uh-oh. But confident. Looking good.
Thank you.
We'll be back after this. Hey, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Just talking to Dr. Bruce about coming over. Don't know if you heard that or not.
Oh.
Our engineer, Michelle, ran out of the room to get me a notepad. And seemed about ready to go back on the air, but yeah. That's all right. Whatever.
Close enough.
It's all right.
For government work.
It's Thursday night, everybody. That's like Friday night for you. Dr. Bruce is here. He's filling in for Dr. Drew. God bless him. Dr. Drew is in Toronto. He's filming a movie with the Olsen twins. He was slated to come on tonight from wherever he was, and that big East Coast power grid blowout thing got him off. And New York. It's off in...
Detroit,
parts of Canada. Yeah. So, anyway, I was just complaining about L.A. drivers. And let me tell you something else about L.A. I just want to go insane. But here's the one thing I can say about L.A. versus New York. L.A. cab drivers are pussies. They're slower than the general traffic. They're confused, slow, effed up people. And in New York, they haul ass. And I love that about New York cab drivers. Now, they may be maniacs and they may be pricks, but they haul ass. And I have amazing respect for anyone who wants to haul ass. I'm always the guy who's behind the guy who tries a crazy ballsy maneuver. I'm always like applauding. Yeah. Hey, wow, that was ballsy. That was a nice, they used the e-brake to help make the corner. Sweet. That's
like Death Race 2000 in Manhattan, though, for cabbies.
Yes, I don't care. I love that. L.A., you guys, I know none of you speak English, but if anyone ever tells you, can translate this, you're all pussies. You're horrible pussy drivers. They're slower in hell. They just creep along. They don't seem to be aware of anything. Yeah. And they're, I don't know what it is. I don't think it's a nationality thing, because New York's got the same crazy nationality thing, but they drive like maniacs.
My cousin drove a cab for a year in New York, working his way through school. And until you were picked
up... He's Pakistani?
oh, absolutely, yeah. No, he's Indian. No, he's... Until you get picked up by a bus and moved physically in your cab, you really hadn't passed the initiation.
Really? He ram you?
Yeah. Nice. So.
All right. Let's talk. Let's go to line one here. Greg?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yeah, what's up?
What's up?
Well, the other night, my girlfriend and I were screwing around in the pool. Mm-hmm. And I was like, we're kind of worried that something might have happened.
Mm-hmm.
like, we were...
What were you doing?
Well, we got out in the pool and we started making out, and mm-hmm. we started, like, screwing around, and she got me off.
Mm-hmm.
And, mm-hmm. like...
Your dad's in there the following morning, swimming laps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. No, we were, like, relatively extremely close. And
what does that mean?
Like, we're just kind of worried that something might happen.
Yeah, yeah. She can't get pregnant by you releasing your seed into the water like a salmon spawning.
Yeah.
Right. Isn't that how fish... isn't that how they fertilize fish eggs?
Yeah.
You just spray that milk everywhere?
It's so... Yeah. But, relatively extremely close versus extremely close versus relatively close.
You got to be in.
How do you define?
You got to be inside. You weren't in. She was just giving you a handy in the water. Handy.
Yeah.
All right. That's fine. Seriously, right. It is the summertime. Is your dad using that pool? Your mom in there? Got a kid sister?
Nah.
No. That's your personal pool.
Yeah. No. My mom doesn't really go swimming. My dad doesn't live with us, and my sister's like never home.
Okay. All right. Well, it's your own
personal
jackpool.
Sperm bank.
Yeah, there it is. Don't be surprised if 4 or 5 years from now things start crawling from that.
That'd make a good horror movie.
Where are we? Let's talk to Jeanette, or Janet. Janet.
Hi. Hi. How are you?
25. Good. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Good.
Okay. I work nights. And I came home, and I took a hot bath, and I was using the shower head to masturbate, and I started to, like, drift off to sleep, and I had a sexual fantasy about being with God.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like a glowing, like, just outline of a man, and it was really good, and I had a really great orgasm, but then I felt, like, really horrible and guilty and worried that... I don't know. And I'm not even really like a really religious person or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if you ever heard of that or if that's really wrong or weird or what's your take on it?
Freud would have a lot of people. With that.
God has given a lot of the ladies anal, but not just the conventional stuff. That's his thing, by the way. Is he cut or is he, you know, is he circumcised or?
Well, I just saw like the top half.
Oh, like, you didn't?
No. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, here's the thing about you women. You're all over the place with these fantasies, you know. Every time you talk to a woman, they go, oh, I had the most sensual dream. It's like, yeah, who are you with? I couldn't make out his face. Like, really? I know exactly who I'm with. That's the whole thing. Like, you got to know who you're. No guy's ever had a fantasy where it's like some chick with just a blank Etch-a-Sketch face. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Women have that. They have that crazy fantasy stuff. That's sort of it's such a mystery, man, that you don't even know who he is when he's humping you.
But so, Jeanette, what religious persuasion do you emanate from?
I was raised Catholic, but now I would guess I'd be Unitarian if I had to claim a religion.
You're raised Catholic. There were no abuse issues, and this didn't look like a priest when you had the dream. Or...
Well, this is. This is definitely a hell offense. I mean, this can get you in.
Yeah, do you feel any guilt over this? Or
yes, I do. I felt really guilty and bad, and it was tempting to have that fantasy again, but
really?
I was kind of like, oh, I better not.
Well, how do you know it was the maker? You know
just,
what I mean?
You know, in my head somewhere, it just clicked it. Yeah, that was it.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I mean...
Yeah, that's all right. Look.
I'll like have immaculate conception or something like that.
Yeah, you'll give birth to a water pick.
Right.
To a shot glass. Hey, but look, when you close, were your eyes closed, I hope?
Yeah, I was like kind of falling asleep. I was like,
all right. Quiet down. When you close your eyes, oftentimes, especially right when you're going to bed, you do see like different, it's just sort of lights and movement sometimes. You know what I mean?
I'm sure it's not a flashback.
Could be. Lights could be. I'm closing my eyes now.
See,
well, you know what I'm talking about?
Right.
I mean, you're sort of more susceptible.
Like you rub your eyes and you can get the same type of...
You're more susceptible to that kind of stuff as you're sort of in that place in between consciousness and unconsciousness. You know, maybe she was falling asleep.
You're taking it... I mean, look at the archetypal significance of this call. I mean, someone fantasizing sex and thinking that it's God. So... Drew should only be here to interpret this very complex individual's call because it's beyond my abilities.
Whatever. It's naughty. She's gone to Unitarian away from her parents'
Catholicism. Yeah, well, there's the guilt issue.
Yeah, all right. It's naughty. And God, the ultimate mystery man.
Yeah.
Jeanette, you're fine. Enjoy. It's all fantasy anyway.
All right,
no,
I think she should explore her religious roots and how, and when you talk about guilt and she was attracted to it.
Unitarians, like, that's a Christianity for homos, or what is that? They take everyone, right?
I think, God, you know, all is one and God is in everything.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Okay. But Janet.
Yes.
Yeah, are you mad at your parents?
Not particularly, no.
But you don't, they're a little uptight for you?
No, actually quite opposite. They were really... my mom, anyway, was really free-spirited and such, and I spent a lot of time with my grandparents who were really enforced the Catholicism on me.
All right. Well, this is a little payback for Nana and Grandpa.
There's something going on with the conflict between what feels good and what you want to do and some of the legalistic issues maybe that were imposed upon you by grandparents or part of the family, and trying to resolve and work some of that out, even being in the Unitarian Church.
What's legalistic?
Well, God is a bunch of rules rather than God is a loving God that would want you to do things because of the relationship rather than you better do these things or you're going to be
That's how you grew up, right? The vengeful God?
No. The God that's the relationship God. The God that loves you and you do good things, fruits of the Spirit.
Your parents told you not to whack off, though, right? Yeah, God saw
No,
you.
Absolutely not. No, my father was pretty much, pretty agnostic.
All right.
Good guy. Played a lot of baseball, worked in the fire department in New York.
Agnostic guy. All right, good guy. Yeah.
Went to church.
Oh, he did?
Oh. Pretty supported good. The family going
did that
to
for an agnostic. Mm-hmm. Eileen?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My family was into no religion because that would have been being into something. and any movement was forbidden in the Corollas. It was like they couldn't do anything. Like it's like they couldn't follow a baseball team, they couldn't be in a religion, they couldn't like cars, they couldn't do anything because anything was something. You see what I'm saying? It's they're so lazy and so effed up and so depressed that they couldn't even be religious. They couldn't even move.
But your father was searching. I mean, he seems like he's having done the show with him once. And I'm not sure I want to be in the same room with you two again for an hour.
Great guy, Eileen.
Yeah.
You're 18.
Yes.
What's up?
I'm kind of like in this, like, love mess, love triangle, shall I call it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm with this guy. I've been with him for, 3 months, and, we're engaged or whatever. But lately I've been talking to I have a baby. I have a 2-year-old little boy. I've been talking to his father for, the past 3 months also.
Bakersfield, you're 18. He should be, more like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
You're way behind, baby. All right. Go ahead.
And, me and my baby's dad, we've been talking, and, we've been, talking about getting back together, and I've told him about my recent boyfriend that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And, I guess I do want to leave the boyfriend that I have because, he's just lazy, and, I don't think he'd be prepared to support not only me, but my son also.
Well, let me ask you this, Eileen. Why, what makes you think the biological dad would be good for supporting your child when he split the first time?
Well, because he has a job and everything. And
yeah, but where was he for the last 2 years?
Well, he left about a year ago. He left to Florida to go work over there.
How old is he?
Florida. Shocking. And by the way, when you live in Bakersfield, you don't have to go to Florida. Bakersfield is Florida without the ocean. That's all it is.
Oh, well, I don't want to go over there. He's going to come over here.
He's coming back to Bakersfield?
We want to get a place in Bakersfield.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
What's with your geographic prejudices here? But you've never probably even been to Florida.
Okay, let me say this. First, I've been to Florida many times.
Alabama.
Secondly, here's what I've realized. Florida has become the bay that we dump into for the entire country. Every deadbeat dad, every terrorist in training, every screwball no count fugitive goes to Florida. It's Florida or Nevada.
The human waste receptacle.
You turn on the TV, you hear some crazy story about her mom trying to eat her kid or her mom making it's always horrible parenting stories out of Florida. We have a joke, by the way, which is called Florida or Germany. Every screwy story that comes over the wire where somebody tries to make a child seat for their kid by duct taping a lawn chair to the room for their SUV and they caught their kid, killed their kid going over a low overpass or something. It's either Florida or Germany.
Yeah.
Every idiot ends up in Florida. Everyone. And then the rest end up in Nevada, and then they sprinkle some in Riverside and others in Bakersfield.
What's in Riverside? How about Vermont?
What's in Riverside? Vermont. Nothing.
Oh, I'm not in Riverside.
Not a river. Nothing.
Michigan.
Where is that river?
Oh, that's a good question.
How, you call yourself Riverside? Where's the river?
Yeah.
Crapside is what it should be called. All right.
Okay.
Eileen?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't trust the old guy, but I don't trust the new guy either because I don't trust you to make decisions.
I was going to say, do you trust Eileen?
No, I don't. So, first off, what are you using for protection? How do we know you're not going to have another kid?
I'm not on birth control.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not having sexual relations.
All right. But you are engaged to the present guy, though.
Yeah.
And why? Why no sex?
Because I just don't want. I don't want another baby, I guess. I don't want to have sex.
I know, but no, that's ridiculous because this guy's going to get drunk and he's going to roll over on you while you're asleep and we're going to have another baby, not you, us.
Oh.
All right, so listen, you get on birth control. Would you, screwball?
Hmm?
Please, like an adult, and no more kids.
I know.
You can look, you're not in love with the guy you're with now, so break up with him.
Yeah,
wait a second.
Let the biological dad attempt to be the father of your child.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, but I don't trust him either.
No, it sounds like there's a lot of information left out here, but it's always best if the biologic dad and mom can raise the kid.
Well, it's quaint today. It's so nice when a biological father can raise his own child. Yeah.
So, but is he abusive? Does he have a substance abuse problem?
Eileen?
No, he don't.
And so maybe he's a responsible.
He did have a drug problem before.
Shocking.
Those are one of the reasons I left him, and he decided to quit everything. So,
what are you doing? Yeah, what are you doing to support yourself?
To support myself, like financially?
Yeah. No, I mean weight bearing. What size of the choice are you?
Yeah, financially. go ahead.
Like
you have a job.
No, I'm planning on going to the reserves.
The reserves, all right.
Yeah.
How are you paying for your rent and that kind of stuff?
I'm living with my mom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Look, the most important thing is you got to be there for that kid.
Yes.
And that's what people don't think about when they have sex. They, you know, it's done to have kids, and you have a kid, and then you don't take that into account. So if you can get back with this guy, but people with a substance abuse problem, it's not, he's over, he quit. Is he done something?
He went to Florida.
Well, she's in a relationship now where she could possibly start off with another guy, so...
It sounds like horrible and defeatist and whatever. I'm sure her dad's way down the road. She's living with her mom right now. Maybe he was
abusive.
She's
trying, so we don't want to communicate hopelessness to
Okay,
Eileen.
Okay, here's what I'd like to communicate. I'd like to communicate you not getting pregnant for a long time. I'd like to communicate you... putting your child first. Take care of that child. Number three, if you can get the biological dad back in the picture, and he's sober, and he works, and he treats you well, and he treats his child well, then he can be in the picture. If he doesn't, he's got to go again.
How about Eileen's got some real complex issues going on, and before she commits to any relationship, she has somebody that's a family therapist or something, help her sort stuff out.
Family therapist.
Social services can help her out. She's in Bakersfield, California. Why do you think we have a deficit
in Bakersfield?
Yes, they do. Why is there such a state deficit?
Let me tell you what the family therapist in Bakersfield, it's a crow. It just lands on your fence and it's, go! People just stand under it with their eyes open like saucers. They just stare at it and they go, what do you think he said? I think he said to stop blaming our parents. And then it just flies away the next year. That's their therapy over there.
I think that's the
crow theory.
The crow in the cradle. Wasn't that a song?
Yes, yeah. As the crow flies therapy in Bakersfield.
No.
It's like, where's the crow going now? He's going to Riverside to spread to spread the news, and then it's a long journey to Florida.
How about Redlands? That's where I'm from.
And then
at least make fun of that. It's not
He don't even stop in Redlands. He just craps as he's flying to Florida.
Eileen is... calling and she's exhibiting
no more kids. Find Jesus Christ. Only take this guy back if he's good. He can't be on drugs.
Okay.
All right. We'll be back. Hey everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew, who is in Toronto, who is experiencing a blackout.
Not an alcoholic blackout.
No.
No.
Dr. Bruce says pour himself a cup of coffee, and he likes his coffee like he likes his women, white. Put how many cream packets did you put in there?
Only four.
Four of those little cup kind of. Give me that pen, by the way. Mm. Stirring his coffee with a pen like
an
animal.
Yeah, stirring the coffee with a pen.
Well, after it washed off in your coffee, yeah. How many sugar? And by the way, okay, I kid you not, Dr. Bruce puts in 10 packets of sugar into his coffee cup, and I ain't talking about a big tumbler of coffee. I'm talking about 6-8 ounces, small paper cup. Takes 5 at a time, rips them off. 5 at a time. And by the way, that is a strong man feat. That is like tearing a phone book in half, tearing all this. You got good hand strength.
Until Ray broke my hand.
Tears them all off, dumps them all in simultaneously. 10. How many sugars do you have in there?
Well, it's,
how many?
It's a complicated process. I have 3 sweet and low and 2 sugars.
So, no.
Sweet,
I
one
saw
sweet
you
lows.
Open. I saw you open 5 sugars.
I'm just being honest. I'll put 10 sugars, but if it's sweet and low, I'll put only 5 or 6. So,
I have seen him use 4 sweet and low in a 7-ounce cup of coffee, too. And I keep telling him it's bitter after a certain point.
Listen.
I'm telling you.
It's not crack cocaine that I'm not using your stash here. Who cares? There's plenty of cane sugar. What's the problem? It tastes good.
You take half a sweet and low and put it in 6 ounces of coffee. It's borderline bitter. I can't imagine putting 4 of them in there. What happened? Someone took like a soldering iron to the inside of your mouth?
Do you have control issues or what? You know, it's like, leave me alone.
You mock me with your sweet and low.
No, I will tell you that. Let me just have the last word. Do you drink soda?
No.
How many teaspoons of sugar do you think there are in a Coke or Pepsi?
13.
More.
Really?
Yeah, it's like 3 times as much as the sugar I put in my coffee. So.
All right. Yeah, but look, that's 12 ounces. You got 6 ounces. You have half of that. So it's like, for you, it's like 20 teaspoons of sugar. How many in a Coke? I never drink Coke.
I don't know. It's 26 grams of carbohydrate and salt sugar, all refined sugar. So I'm in good shape.
Somebody told me soda is really the worst thing you could drink.
Yeah.
All right. Mike?
Leaches, yeah. Calcium, any balls.
Yeah. You're 16?
Yep.
What's up?
I would like to know if there's a way that you can have diabetes without knowing it.
Yeah. I think everyone who has diabetes that hasn't been diagnosed with diabetes probably has diabetes without knowing it.
Uh-huh.
Right, Bruce?
Yeah, diabetes is one of those diseases that doesn't manifest itself very obviously. I mean, you basically, you're thirsty, you're losing weight. You're peeing a lot. Those are the common things that happen to somebody who's not known they have diabetes, and it's picked up.
Why? You think that's you? 16-year-old guys don't usually have diabetes.
No, but type 1 and type 2 diabetes. Type 2 diabetes is adult onset. It's usually somebody that's overweight, and they get it in later ages.
What do you
but
got?
But in youth, type 1 diabetics, that is something that can show up.
What would be
age.
The symptoms? Symptoms for Mike? He's got to pee,
well,
losing weight.
You're thirsty all the time. All of a sudden, you're thirsty all the time. You're losing weight.
Mike,
peeing all the time.
You have any of that?
I'm thirsty a lot. I drink a whole lot of Coke. Like, whenever we have it, I would drink, like, maybe a 12-pack every 2 days or so.
Now we're talking about something where all of a sudden, it's a change from what's usual for you, and then all of a sudden, you can't drink enough, and Coke wouldn't really do it. You'd be drinking water like crazy, and you'd be peeing like a
racehorse.
You would
get more dehydrated.
Oh, right, exactly.
Coke,
that's what happens. You go into you end up in the emergency room, and you're in a coma. And
I never can understand why drinking a liquid, why drinking tea or something with caffeine. Is it just something with caffeine that'll dehydrate you?
Or beer, alcohol, anything that's a diuretic, anything that makes you pee more than you
take
in the liquid you're getting in. So caffeine and alcohol are the worst culprits. So, that's why drinking beer to rehydrate yourself is even.
But there's still nothing better on a hot day or lukewarm day or just like
beer.
A cold day or a regular day or just a day, you know, when you're alive.
Right.
Nothing better than that beer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sweet suds going down. Brittany?
Yeah?
You're 16?
Yeah.
You think you see the guy who raped you, but he's in jail?
Huh?
What? You
got
raped?
About, like, last year, I went through this huge thing. This guy that I was seeing, he apparently he was a registered sex offender, and me being the stupid person believed the story that he told me. And he told me that something had happened with him and an ex-girlfriend, and the father reported it as rape, and so he became a sex offender. It didn't turn out to be that, and he raped me. And I got into this huge thing of just, like, major depression and trying to, like, hurt myself and pulling myself away from my friends. And I got over it. He's in jail now. But I guess I've just been seeing his face everywhere. I've been mistaking other people that I don't even know for him.
All right. Well, hold on, because we got to take a break. How old is he?
It turned out he was 19.
Okay. Hold on a second there,
yeah,
Brittany.
This is a good call.
Yeah. I mean, not good for you, but good for the listeners.
We can help you.
Yeah, we're going to help.
Cool.
All right, so Brittany needs to hang on. Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. Quite nicely, too, I might
Thank
add.
You.
Having a good night, buddy. Feeling good. We'll be right back with Brittany after this. Love line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew and doing it nicely. Thank you. I'm going to taste this coffee. It's gone.
Hey, you got to drink that stuff fast. It solidifies in the cup if you don't.
It will congeal because once all that sweet and low and all that sugar absorbs all the cream that you've dumped in there, it'll just turn into bread pudding, essentially.
You're ruining my
All right. Well, now it'll just congeal in your lower intestine. Fine. All right. Where are we going here? Going to Brittany. That's right. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew in Toronto.
Blacked out.
Brittany?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you're 16.
Yep.
You got raped how long ago?
Just last year. Yeah.
How old was that guy?
19.
Just last year. Is that a year ago or? Because last year was like 8 months ago now, or 9 months ago.
Well, yeah, it was about 10, 11 months ago.
All right. And,
okay. Keep track of time.
And you got hooked up with a guy, and the guy was registered as a sex offender.
Yeah.
How'd you find out he was registered as a sex offender?
My mom found out for me. She was looking it up on computers and stuff. She's hooked into something on the internet.
That's got to be nice. That's good. Like, Mom, I appreciate the tip on the registered sex offender, but you know what? That was all just a clerical mistake. So then you hear him honking the horn in the El Camino in front. Okay, Mom, don't wait up. That had to be great.
So he was 19 and you were 15 when this happened?
Yeah, almost 16.
Now, how could he lie about, did you say he lied about his age?
He lied about his age. He told me he was 18. And he also lied about the fact that he was a sex offender. He told me that it was false charges, basically. Like, he screwed up and he got nailed for it anyway.
Sure.
And where's your dad?
My dad lives
Florida.
He's not in Florida.
Riverside.
He lives in Redmond, actually.
Oh. Bruce will say hi to him on his way home.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, that's
what a coincidence.
Florida West, Redlands. All right, so you haven't seen him in a while?
I talked to him the other day, but I haven't really seen him in about 4 months.
Your dad?
An argument, yeah.
Yeah, is we ever sexually abused?
No.
No. Why was your mom on the website looking up the sexual offenders? Had she ever been abused? Is there something in your family about this? Huh?
She was when she was younger. She ran away a lot because of it.
Yeah. Okay, so she was sexually abused. She married your father. He didn't turn out to be sexually abusive?
No, he didn't.
That's
something.
That's surprising.
Yeah, that is.
But either that or he was very codependent, one extreme or the other. But
he ended up abandoning the family and moving to Redlands, right?
Well, he didn't really abandon us. They had an argument or something, and they got divorced, and he still saw us for a lot, but then I got into an argument, and I just really haven't talked to him.
Okay, so now this guy raped you, and you called the cops?
Yeah, my mom did.
Oh, because your mom's...
I was in denial, and I finally came out with it with Mom, and
okay.
How long after it happened?
A month or two afterwards.
Okay, and so how much time is this guy doing?
I don't know. Last I heard it was 4 years, but I don't really know.
How come no more than 4 years? You're already a registered sex offender,
yeah.
And then you rape, not only rape, but statutory rape. You get 4 years?
Like 30 years.
You sure it's only four,
second
Brittany?
Offense.
That's what I heard. I'm not sure. I haven't really...
So you didn't have to testify?
Mm-mm. No, I did go up there and talk to the judge, but I wasn't in the right state of mind. And
okay.
Yeah.
So does this guy... Okay, so have you gotten some therapy?
Yeah, I go see a counselor, but...
Well, the statement you made earlier, you said, well, I'm okay, but I'm seeing this guy's face and you're having these recurrent things. When an incident like this occurs, post-traumatic stress disorder is having a traumatic incident, something that's out of the usual things you experience in daily life, something traumatic, and not getting therapy. In the first 24 hours, you have all kinds of real complex biologic things going on. You have outpouring of cortisone, steroids, and adrenaline, and they found that there's actual changes that occur in your brain that are partially prevented by getting therapy and, you know, being able to express all these feelings you have and work through it in the very early in the first 24 to 48 hours. So if you don't get that, then you tend to have these later stage symptoms where they're either dreams or recurrent, seeing the person or thinking you're seeing them, anxiety,
all right,
depression.
So you need
to continue with a therapist.
Yeah.
Somebody that has a realization of what PTSD is all about, because it sounds like you have something that's more than just related to getting therapy because, you had an assault.
And listen, moms, if you were sexually abused or raped and you give birth to a daughter, you might as well just rape her at the hospital before you take her home. Get it out of the way. Just get it out of the way, because that's what ends up happening.
You might have an awareness of that you can hand down things you didn't realize just because of what you've been through.
No, look at her mom. Sexually abused, on the lookout for sexual abusers, gets on the internet, probably head on a swivel, middle linebacker, and still her daughter finds an abuser.
But it's a lack of the mom's ability to set appropriate boundaries and structure, because I think it's one thing to be on the internet looking to see if he's a sexual abuser, but the kid shouldn't be going out with this guy in the first place. So,
it was a misunderstanding. Clerical errors happen. You know what I'm saying? That's just a man putting a label on him. You know what I mean?
A 15-year-old with an 18-year-old is abuse by definition.
Yeah.
So the fact looking to see if the guy is a sexual predator, he's a predator just because
Listen, if you were sexually abused like the mom was, your kid will be sexually abused.
But the point is,
don't matter how much you look, it's just going to happen.
So two things. People listening now.
I'm saying get it over with in a safe environment.
And I'm saying that if somebody's listening now and they're in that situation, they can get help. There is help you can get, and you can develop insight and develop an awareness of how inappropriate it is to be calling about a guy being a sex offender when just what he's doing is predatory.
All right. Speaking of sex offenders, John. John, you're 25.
Yep.
You like women's feet.
Yep.
You're obsessed with women's feet?
Obsessed.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a couple of questions just to find out the depth of your dementia. If a woman had very nice feet but wasn't very attractive, maybe a five, maybe a five or six.
The feet being a five or six?
Shut up. Woman had very nice feet.
Ah.
Would you start listening? Woman had beautiful feet, but she wasn't very attractive. But not hideous. Let's just call her five and a half. And then there was another woman that was very beautiful. She was a nine, but her feet were very unattractive. Who would you go for?
It'd have to be the one with the feet.
Really?
It's
nice. Man, the world is your oyster. That's better than liking fat chicks. You get whatever you want. You just go to the beach, find some homely chick with nice cuticles, and pow.
Doesn't Marrier. Work that way. Isn't that a sad commentary? So
really?
Are you running into any problems with it? Is it progressing? Is it getting to the stage where it's
an absolute obsession.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's...
And when do you remember it starting?
As early as I can remember. It was when I was young.
Yeah, looking at mama's feet. Do you,
babysitter.
You masturbate to feet?
Yeah.
And what are the feet doing?
Just looking at it.
Just looking at the feet. No one's humping the feet. It's not going, no toe in someone's ass or anything.
Well, sometimes.
Yeah. Okay.
So were you exposed to any kind of sexual content that you shouldn't have been when you were real young? And
there was a babysitter that used to do things that I think is when it started.
Really?
Yeah.
Mother was a stripper. Father worked at a Foot Locker. I've seen it 1,000 times. All right, so what did the babysitter do?
It was just when we were kids. She would, I would have to, that was my job, was to do things with her.
And how old were you?
I was probably 6.
Yeah. So with that kind of a trauma.
What do you mean do things?
Well, he doesn't sound like he's
uncomfortable.
He's a little uncomfortable talking.
Would you perform oral sex on her?
What's that now?
Would you perform oral sex on her?
No, I wouldn't. She would make me lick her feet. That's kind of where it all started. My brother would have to. He was the oral man when we were kids. But I think that's where it started. But my question is,
hold on a second. Something sounds wrong with this call.
It could be, but it could be instructive anyway. I mean, these kind of things happen, and people with fetishes, I mean, that's in your DSM, all the diagnostic manuals for psychiatry.
You wonder if the parents were tipping her, too, and they're leaving. Like, Nancy, you did such a wonderful job. Thank you. Did the dishes. God bless you. Here's $4 extra. You keep that money for yourself. Right? Well, meanwhile, the 9-year-old's licking her feet, and the other one's going down on her.
It's not funny. I mean, when you think about it, 6-year-old experiencing this stuff.
No.
And I was watching
it was
that John Wall show today I was watching. And they had a guy on there that was an upskirter. This is the first time I heard this. Guy's taking pictures up women's skirts and then a constitutional lawyer.
Were you sitting home all day?
I had the kids today.
All right.
I was watching SpongeBob, but then, I saw.
When you say
I like
kid,
that John Wall.
Kids, you mean your balls,
my,
right?
No, my 3 and 7-year-old.
All right.
They love SpongeBob.
All right. All right. Well, hold on.
Anyway, so.
I can get the guy to do the voice for you.
No,
Tom okay. Kenny. No. Hey, John.
Yeah.
All right. So,
John sounds serious about this.
John sounds like he knows he has. Seems bogus. But listen, if you got something bogus to say, please spit it out.
Okay. My question is, how many guys out there have foot fetishes? But just, I mean, what do you think the number is? I mean, is it like low? Is it high? Because I mean, I've only met like 2 other people.
Okay. What's the point? I mean, that's it doesn't matter. You've got
to. No, he wants to know.
I mean, and then how many girls, I mean, because a lot of girls, they don't even know. I mean, I can walk by and look at it.
Okay, listen,
it's like for some guys, walking around and some guys like boobs. I mean.
Yeah.
No.
That's different.
Hell totally yes. Different story. Look, there's probably 50 to 100 websites for guys that have foot fetishes.
Bruce has perused them all.
No, I've avoided them all. And there are also probably people that meet and will convince you that it's normal and it's healthy and there's nothing wrong with it. It's a disorder. It's progressive. It's, it's a problem that you need to
deal
with.
What do you do? What do you do? I mean, what do you do when something like this gets burned into your psyche at a young age?
You go to a therapist. You have to go through therapy. You have to work through it with a therapist. It's not something that some things you can have an awareness of and it can help to change the behavior and the problem. But something like this is too, just like you said, it's burned in at an age where you really shouldn't have a certain level of sexual awareness or arousal.
Right.
There's that arousal that occurs. It gets tied into the feet, and then that becomes a necessary part of arousal. And nothing to do, and then the whole issue of intimacy and relationship, you sort of bypass that whole thing, and it becomes sexual arousal, it becomes the feet thing.
Right.
And so it's a complicated issue, and it sabotages relationships, obviously.
All right.
Because a guy like this is going to get to the point where he doesn't care about whose feet they are.
No. Could be his mom's, could be the devil's.
Well, and no relationship, no stable relationship can occur. So has he gone to a therapist?
Oh, who cares? Look, here's the
whole thing.
If
it's not a bogus call, then he has very little insight.
He does have very little insight. And this misery loves company is no excuse. And here's the thing. I know you love feet. It's going to be hard to cleanse your mind of those feet, but you got to see a doctor, possibly Dr. Scholes.
He's gelling,
No, you got there's no telling. No, you got to shut up. Don't laugh at this man.
I'm not.
You got is there a book he can read? He's not going to go to
Dr. Drew's new book.
Dr. Drew's new book.
I can't remember the name. But listen, no, I have a serious point. Is he on the line?
He can hear you.
Okay. I don't want to get into how many people there are like this, because the next thing is, well, if there's that many people, then...
Yeah, there's a lot.
Misery loves company.
Let me just say this. There's a lot of people this way. There's a lot of people who are on welfare. There's a lot of Shiite Muslim suicide terrorists. There's a lot of racists. There's a lot of people that abuse their kids. There's a lot of alcoholics. There's a lot of everybody that you don't want to be.
This is
that
an AA. You don't want to go to foot fetish support right now.
No, I'm just saying there's a lot of everybody.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you got to be one of them.
No, but in this day and age, if there's enough of any kind of perversion or anything else and you get enough support, then it becomes something else you can't criticize. And, and you have a right to be a child pornographer because you find enough people that are into that.
Right.
First Amendment rights.
Yeah. Aaron?
Hi.
You're 15? Your boyfriend moved to Alaska.
Yeah.
Folks are making it hard to stay together.
Yeah.
You live in Canoga Park.
Yes.
Same place, pretty much. You close your eyes. You're in Alaska. What was it, about 111 today over there?
I don't know. I went to summer school. It was like, I stayed for first period, and like second period, we weren't going to do anything. So I was just like, whatever, I'm going to go home. And I've been home since. And I just like, all I think about is like, my boyfriend, I'm just like, because we used to, like, live together, like, at my dad's house.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, no.
I used to live in North Hollywood.
Oh, no, you should never have said that.
Oh, man.
You can ask her what street and then come up with a story about how you used to drive your car.
Yeah, what street did you live on?
I used to live on Cartwright. I live behind a porn shop.
Yeah.
Oh, Adam knows exactly where that is.
Over in Lancashire there?
Near Lancashire. It was a Big Apple Books.
Yeah.
For adults.
Sure.
You've never been in there, have you?
No.
It's funny. They call them adult bookstores.
I was asking Adam if he's been in there.
Yeah, I've probably been in there. But look, they call them adult bookstores. There's not one book in there. It's just magazines. I spanked you. But, and listen, what you can't tell me how hot it was in Canoga Park today just to torture me a little bit.
I'll go with 111.
Yeah. Brutal.
It was actually brutal. Really hot. Like, I'd go on my balcony and say, oh, my goodness. Like, it was, like, humid. Like, you'd go out there, and, like, in 5 seconds, you'd be, like, drenched from head to toe.
Let me make this observation about going out on the balcony. That means either you have a really great house or you live in a crappy apartment.
But if it's a great house in that area, they're making pornos down in the neighbor's yard.
Shush.
No, I live in a crappy apartment.
Yeah, I was playing that since you moved from North Hollywood.
Yeah.
All right, now listen, your boyfriend who used to live with you.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the point is he's in Alaska, right?
Yeah.
That's it. It's over. Relationship done.
You're 15, right?
Yeah.
How old is he?
He just turned 17 in July.
Okay, why was he living with you? Your parents allowed him to live?
I was living with my dad, who's like this big, like, dope fiend and drinks nothing but wine, and he's like this abusive father who would like yell at me and like beat me or whatever whenever I was home.
He was a North Hollywood Citizen of the Year.
Parents of the
87 through 94, by the way. Yeah. They don't have a big crop to choose from over there. They had to go. But the guy did the least beating and the least drinking.
We knew that he was moving, and so, like, we're like, well, you know, you can stay with me, like, because he was running away, so he wouldn't have to move. He was, like, he's the oldest of 7 children. And they're Mormon, and the reason... And I used to, like, go to church with him just to make his parents happy and stuff. And I was just like, whatever would make the relationship work with the family, because the family's, like, really strict and,
you know. Aaron, let me chime in, because, as you know, I'm a genius.
Okay.
And from North Hollywood. So here's the thing. Your dad's a troublemaker.
I don't live with him anymore.
Good. He's not a good guy. Screw him. Don't have a bunch of issues over guys just because your dad's an a-hole. I think you might anyway, but you're smart. You're sharp. You're 15. You're wise beyond your years. This guy is in Alaska. That is farther than Drew in Canada. You understand?
Yeah.
It's like it goes United States, a whole country, and then Alaska.
Yeah.
It's too far. You'll never get there. Even if you had a seaplane, you couldn't get there. You forget about it. You're going to ruin your life. Here's what you need to do. You need to focus on doing well in school, meeting guys, not getting pregnant, and going far away from your a-hole dad and screwball family to college. All right?
Okay.
All right. That's it. Look, all of you that are having these long-distance relationships when you're 15, forget about it.
Yeah, but the behavior's the patterns are already laid down in her brain, just as you were talking about the foot fetish guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, you're not listening. So.
No. Who's talking? Drew? Oh, it's Bruce.
Doesn't matter.
No, I'm listening, but you know, it's with one, I got one ear for you.
Well, you tell her to stay away from the screw up dad.
Right.
Alaska's a continent away.
Right.
Move on. But she's got a lot more issues. She's probably has been sexually active already. That pattern once established, she's going to go out.
Just because she was living with a fur trapper for a while. Of course, she's sexually active. Okay.
And she needs to do more. It's way beyond her ability to understand that she's got the victim written on her forehead, and that, you know, so she's going to trade in the Alaskan fur trapper 17-year-old for another Canoga Park.
Yeah, I know. It's all bad. It's all bad. Shop. Just look. Just find Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I don't know. Listen to classical music and do some exercise. All right? Let me tell you something. I went upstairs into my house. I got the digital thermostat up there. Went up there about 7:30 in the evening, take a nap. 91 is what it read. 90 goddamn one. Can you believe that?
We don't have the thermostat set for...
I'd have the thing blowing all day long. I just go up there and kick it on.
That's a lot cooler where you are than Canoga Park.
Yeah, not that much, but yeah, yeah. But 91? I didn't know it could get 91 indoors. I was like some illegal that was trapped in a 18-wheeler that got ditched by the side of the road in Texaco or Calexico or Paltfaxico.
Or Redlands. Come out to Redlands.
No, I'm not going to Redlands.
So which house was this?
I'll go to the Sun. It's my home where I live in Hollywood.
Oh, well, I'm
91 degrees. Can you believe that, S?
No, that's... Yeah. Painful. But you're saving money keeping it that temperature.
All right, I don't need this. We're Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew, who's in Toronto, experiencing a blackout. Let me tell you how bad my work ethic is, Bruce. I was talking to Ann or Lauren or somebody today, and they're like, Drew is not going to be on tonight. He might not be on because there's a blackout. And he was on the set, you know, working on the movie. And they blackout. They had to send everyone home. And I thought, ooh, that lucky son of a gun. He got to go home.
thought, oh, Drew's not happy when that occurred.
No,
sure.
Drew, he's a busybody, that Drew.
Yeah.
He's over there in Toronto and wants to get something done.
He doesn't bring his golf clubs on that trip, I bet.
Drew. Every time I tell Drew, why don't you play some golf and chill out? Golf? Golf? 5 hours away from my family. That's my family. I couldn't imagine. I'm like, look, that's the whole point, you idiot. You're supposed to just walk around on a grass field with your stupid buddies drinking beer for 5 hours. That's the plan of golf. Get away from the goddamn family. I couldn't imagine.
No.
He's offended by golf. He's angry at golf. If you ever see a thing where, like, golf carts, you know, someone cuts the brake lines and they start going over cliffs and golf balls start exploding and stuff, that's Drew. That's Drew rigging them like a bad 70s episode.
Drew's too busy going to the soccer games and...
Yeah.
Little League games.
Yes,
I was talking to Susan. I got an earful about a month or two ago about...
What?
The abuses their kids experienced at the hands of overly zealous parents. Oh, no. No, she was right on. I mean, you know, the parents that are there that just want to win and the kids aren't having a good time. And, you know, her point was, I want my kids to play, have a good time, and, you know, not have the parents live vicariously through their own loser kids.
Drew's wife's going to give all the kids an eating disorder.
Nah.
She's that neurotic.
Susan's actually...
Does she hit you up? She wants money so the kids can go skating in Paris? She does this all the time. Drew's wife is nuts, by the way. Drew's wife is into ice... She got Drew's daughters into ice skating, and now it's become their life. They have to follow the kid around the country.
Yeah, she's great. I mean... It's not like she's out there tripping all over herself and they want to drag her to Paris
but her
to show
thing,
off.
Her thing is like, his wife comes to me and says, listen, we're trying to get Paulina to Paris this year to do some skating, and we have a group, and what we're doing is we're passing the hand. We're trying to, like, are you high? I'm supposed to pay for your daughter to go to Paris so she can skate? I went to Europe 6 months ago for the first time. I'm 39.
And for a noble cause, of course. It had to do with cars.
I had to pay for myself. Right. What do you mean? Your kid's 9 years old. They've only been to Paris twice.
Well, she's not a Hollywood mom. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, please.
She wants her kids to have a normal.
Not okay. Normal. Ice skating on the Champs-Élysées? Please, normal childhood.
I hope that Drew defends his wife when he gets back, because I'm way over my head on this
one. He can't.
Susan is making a very good point about
it. I'm just saying, if you want to take your kid to Paris skating, God bless you. Just pay for it.
Yeah.
Well, but this is a whole group. I'll get the group to pay for it. Please.
She should have used some psychology. She should have said, I want the boys to go over there to do some Grand Prix history.
Here's my problem.
Research.
My problem is I never went. The furthest I went is Van Nuys from North Hollywood until I was like 33. So yeah. I get angry when I hear about people that are like 14.
Why isn't Anderson playing some of that hillbilly music?
How far? Shut up. For 33. Listen, Anderson's not there, I don't think. Nicole?
Hello?
What's up?
Hi, this is me.
All right, you. Oh, you? This is us.
Huh?
This is us.
Is it?
Okay.
Is there a Nintendo game in the background there? Or?
That's her brain when she thinks too hard. It makes that sound. Sounds like a video game.
Well, you put me on hold so long. I don't know.
Okay. You sound hot.
Huh?
Okay.
Yeah, you're on hold so
really
long.
Not, I wouldn't say that I'm not.
Adam's a therapist in great demand.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
All right, so what's up?
All right, let me tell you. All right, I have this big old drama. It's not my sister. I'm going to get real worked up about this.
You better make it short. Adam's getting bored.
That's right. Okay, go ahead.
Hurry up.
I was with this guy for about 5 months. I'm a really holy person, or I was at least, for this guy. I went to church with him, whatever like that. We broke up for 2 weeks. I thought maybe my sister was a little not into Jesus, so I brought her to my church to get her more into it. She met this my boyfriend that day, and that day she also got with him.
She was flirting with him. She had sex with him?
Huh?
Okay.
I hear something.
That was just...
All right, so what do you want?
With her.
What do you want?
What am I to do? How do I approach my sister?
How old is she?
She's 19.
How old are you?
18.
She's your older sister. How old's your boyfriend?
He's 19.
You guys are broken up now, right?
Obviously, yeah.
Does she live out of the house, or you guys live together?
She moved out. I still live with my father.
Okay, so she's out, and she's seeing him?
Not anymore. She broke his heart. She got tired of him, so...
And is he wanting to get back together with you?
He tells me he loves me and everything like that, but I'm not sure, you know. I don't want to take him back, but, you know,
Yeah, you don't have to take him back. Don't take him back.
Don't go near him.
He's bad.
I don't know. It's just like, I don't know what to say, listen. You know?
Okay, I'll tell you what to say. Say nothing.
But it's happened more than once.
Okay, look, here's the thing. Your sister's got some energy. And you, too, have some energy with your sister. And if it's happened more than once, I would try to keep the guys you date. What was that?
Sorry, that's my nephew.
Playing Nintendo.
How old is your nephew?
He's 17.
Okay, wait a minute. This is a bogus.
Yeah,
call.
It seems like it. But.
It does. It's so sort of bizarre and ambling and stuff that it just.
Okay.
All right, Nicole. Look, who cares?
We care. We care, but now it sounds very chaotic.
It's a bogus call. All right, that's. Listen, everybody, please stop calling the show.
Okay.
Bruce and I could talk. Bruce got himself a laser. He takes some tattoos off. Mark McGrath was in here from Sugar Ray. Has a tat on his neck. Been hitting it with the laser. Broke it right on up.
How dare he go to someone else?
I don't know. They did a good job.
I'm bringing it to tattoo studios. I've learned never call it a tattoo parlor or your...
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because there's ice cream parlors and...
Parlor just reeks of the old days when things were different.
But, tattoo studio, right.
Yeah, I actually had a booth at the tattoo convention. Now, that was an interesting experience.
You did?
Pomona there, yeah. Brought the laser down.
Yeah.
Guys are walking by after a couple of beers going,
for these guys. You know,
great, great breed over there.
What are they doing? Taking tattoos off?
Yeah.
But I'm trying to. I put a website together, and I'm trying to get lots of good information on the medical issues around piercing and and all the questions you guys get.
All right. You making any money on that tattoo removal?
Well, you know, we're going to be in Vegas pretty soon.
Yeah?
We're in Orange County.
Why don't you leave now for Vegas?
InkOnInkOff.com if you want to check it out.
Yeah, get a plug in. Let me tell you, Bruce. But seriously, Bruce comes in here. He fills in on a moment's notice for Dr. Drew. He doesn't get paid. Although he consumes $170 worth of sweet and low, so actually we end up losing money. But you come in here, you do a good job, give a plug. Every asshole comes in here, sits in there, plugs the show, plugs the record, plugs the whatever. Why you shouldn't put a plug in?
I'm trying to plug Drew's book, but he doesn't need it.
Screw Drew's book.
He better give me a free copy.
All right, give me, what's your plug? What, you got a website?
Yeah, InkOnInkOff.com. If you can't spell it, then... don't go to it.
InkOnInkOff.com.
We're just getting it up, and the idea is to have our mobile laser in various tattoo studios.
Right.
In Outer Limits in Orange County.
Right.
And
Ink On.
Big City Tattoo in San Diego. And
InkOnInkOff.com.
Yeah. And send me a note, Dr. Bruce.
You'll remove bad tats.
Well, yeah, or, you know, a lot of it, what I find very interesting and fun is lightening tattoos so that they can get a lot of these guys that are serious about getting tattoos want a different tattoo, and so rather than getting inked over, you know, getting a cover up, I'll lighten an area or just lighten certain parts of an existing tattoo to change it. It's sort of you know, different from the routine removal of a gang tattoo or the cosmetic lasers
taking
stuff.
F the LAPD off the guy's forehead.
I've done a couple of those. Yeah, it's a community service that I'm proud to perform.
He's a good man. InkOnInkOff.com. Emily?
Yeah.
You're 14?
Yeah. My mom is a former methamphetamine addict, and she
perfectly
just got
normal,
clean.
Normal, perfectly healthy. Go ahead.
She just got clean like a few months ago, actually. Mm-hmm. But about a year ago, my little sisters were still allowed to go and have visitations with her, and my mom was in like these dumpy motels, and it was like not a good environment at all.
Yeah.
But, and I guess my mom had, like, a lot of her dealers and her drug addict friends around there. Mm. And, I don't know, and then lately my little sister, like, has no trust for guys at all, and she's 9. And, yeah. Like, she freaks out anytime, like, my dad, like, even, like, touches her arm or anything.
How old is your other sister?
Hmm?
You say you have a couple sisters?
Yeah, I do. One of them is 9, and the other one is 11.
Mm. So you're the oldest?
Yeah.
Any brothers?
Yeah, I have three.
Three brothers?
Yeah, two of them are stepbrothers, but yeah.
All right.
How did your mother
get... in charge, Mama.
Yeah.
Slug 44 right in the head.
Well, how did your mother get off
the state?
How did she get off the speed? Did she go to a program?
No, she didn't. The thing is, she's not completely clean. She hasn't gone to rehab or anything.
No.
Okay,
I would like to tie her tubes in a sheep shank.
Well, you know what? You have some common sense, and you have some real strength just to be calling and have an awareness that you do. You got to call Child Protective Services. You're in California. There's God knows how much money is spent on all the social services here.
Well, just
utilize
how much I spend in taxes each year. I do the math.
I don't live in Long Beach, actually. I'm only here for the summer. My family lives in Seattle. But my dad and my mom are divorced. Like, my dad is remarried, and those are where my two stepbrothers come from.
Where is your younger sister right now?
She's in Seattle.
Where is your mom?
She's in Seattle, too.
Okay, so is your mom taking care of your sister?
No.
Okay.
Well, is she in a safe place right now?
She's with the dad who's remarried.
Yeah, she's with...
And how are you doing, Emily? How are these stepbrothers treating you? They all right?
Yeah, I love my stepbrothers. We get along really well.
All right, be careful.
Yeah.
Don't trust those guys.
But you're making an observation that's pretty far beyond your years. You're seeing something that's
well, she wants to
Get help for the kid.
She wants to know what the likelihood is of her younger sister being sexually
100%.
Abused. No. It's like 115%, 120. No, we don't know what the likelihood is. Well, we do know that your younger sister was brought up in a bad, dangerous and scary environment by a mother who was high and irresponsible and who hung around with other people that were high and irresponsible. And something could have happened. But even if nothing happened, the damage is still done. Not the sexual damage, but the damage of having a mother, a chaotic, high mother. And that alone is grounds for therapy. Now, was there more? Maybe.
Well,
we don't know.
Methamphetamine creates sexual compulsivity. It creates sexual deviancy. And if there's a child around in that environment, it's definitely happened. And if
it's not,
well,
it's not
pretty
definitely happened. It's just there's a possibility that it happened.
Well, I'm just saying you have to look at it as,
well, assume
as
the
though
worst.
It has, because she needs to see a this is an emergent situation. We talk about the post-traumatic stress disorder and the bad dreams later on and the troubled relationships. She needs to see somebody who's an expert that can sort it out.
Okay.
So she needs to talk to her dad.
Yes, that's right.
Emily.
Yeah, she needs to talk to her father.
Make him aware that she's talked to two experts here on the radio and that we've emphasized this is an emergent situation. It really is.
Okay.
Dad needs to get her to somebody that knows how to deal with these kind of family issues.
You wonder about Dad, who married the speed freak in the first place.
Well, so if there's any issues with him, then Emily needs to call. They have a Child Protective Services. They are there not to prosecute anybody, but to check things out. It's just like as a physician, if I'm in the emergency room or in my practice, if I suspect anything, I'm mandated to do it, to call.
Okay.
And then they check
anything
things out.
Anything looks suspicious.
Right. And it's not. It's an anonymous thing also. So Emily can call, explain the situation anonymously, and you just ask for any social service agency with a city or county that you live in up there.
Good times. Good times.
Great.
All right.
Go ahead.
I was saying.
If you're thinking it must be brilliant, I know.
No.
You want to share it with the listeners.
I was just, I like to always harp about the millions of dollars in taxes I pay and how I get zero for in return.
Like Arianna Huffington?
That bitch.
She paid no federal state, $700 a state.
I know. It's great.
But she hates loopholes for the rich.
Yeah, she hates loopholes for the rich. But she lives in an $8 million house that says 6,000 square feet. And she paid $700 in taxes last year, of course.
That's
of course.
Abuse. Man,
like she's fooling me with that crappy Zsa Zsa Gabor accent of hers.
I like Arnold's.
She's full of crap. But anyway, here's the point. Pay hundreds of thousands of dollars in taxes every year. I never got a goddamn thing. I don't have any kids in school. I've never been to a library. I can't get anything. And if I want an extra trash can, it's an extra $20, just like if I was on welfare, which I don't like, by the way. But anyway, the other day I thought I had an opportunity to do something because I was going to install a solar system in my house. And they said, Southern California Edison will pay like 50 or 60% of the cost of getting the thing hooked up. Because they want people, they want to encourage people to do it. You see what's going on over there in New York and Canada. You get a good solar system, your meter's spinning backwards the whole day when you're not home. I swear to God, you're putting power back onto the grid. It's
really?
Crazy. Yeah.
But no credit. You don't get any money for that, of course.
Well, they credit you with your actual meter's actually
going. It's like rollover minutes on the phone.
Would you shut up? Your meter is going backwards, so you're going down negative. So then, when you come home and you kick on the air conditioner, now it's going positive. It's going the other way, but you've amassed mileage going the opposite direction. So
it's like rollover minutes.
You catch up to. All right, I don't. No, it's not because it's
you're getting credit for something that.
Okay,
well, I understand.
Yeah. All right, just quiet with those rollover minutes. Anyway, the point is...
So what's the problem with that? You're going to do
nothing. It was great. Yes, finally I'm going to get something from this goddamn city of ours, and they discontinued the program. That's the good news.
Huh.
That's the good news. There's one thing I qualified for. I mean, there's one goddamn thing where I could have had an opportunity, and I was like, you mean they'll pay for half of the installation? And then, except for they got rid of the program. Yeah, overburn. All right, great. So good. I've kept my streak alive of doing nothing but paying and getting zero. That's all I'm saying. I'm on a roll. I'm on a crap roll. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. Ready? Love line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Look at Dr. Bruce all comfortable with his legs up in the studio, relaxing. It's tough because we're sitting on stools and they have wheels on them. and you want to put your feet up and relax, but you keep rolling around
the studio.
Your feet start getting further away from you, and then you start stretching out. And eventually, you have to lie out like a piece of wood,
yeah,
like a plank over the two stools.
Yeah, I'm hyperactive enough, so I start finding myself in different parts of the studio.
Shocking that a guy would drink 30 cups of coffee with 70 teaspoons of sugar, and it would be hyperactive.
No, you know what? Caffeine sort of calms me down. I have a cup of coffee, I fall asleep because I was diagnosed with ADHD, which, you know, whether that's... I think I'm perfectly normal, actually. But.
So it's like Ritalin is speed, and they give it to kids that are hyperactive, but it ends up slowing them down.
Or Adderall, which is amphetamine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They put me on that for a while, but...
They did? Don't listen to them, Bruce. You're
no,
perfect.
It did. I mean, the first time that they gave me Ritalin, I actually almost
drove
off the... No, actually, as an adult.
This last month?
Drew doesn't believe in the diagnosis, so I'm like, well, maybe. But I'm just, you know, sort of...
Listen, you're good people.
I'm taking therapeutic caffeine now. That's it.
Smart. All right. Dr. Drew is back in Toronto.
In a blackout. Sounds bad.
I hope his apartment burns down from a candle falling over.
Oh.
He's probably on top of both the Olsen twins right now.
Oh.
Because it's lawless over there. First off, you can't be prosecuted in Canada. Canada's lawless. Moose running up and down the street. Drinking that high octane beer.
I went to college in Michigan. I room with Canadians, and I swear to God, Americans would ask them, "Do you have to take a dog sled at the border?"
It's new front. It's like the old West over there. Yeah, no.
That's
law.
Western Canada.
Lawless. Yeah. Lawless. There's no such thing as rape over there. Drew's probably with both the Olsen twins.
How old
right
are
now.
Those twins?
How old dare enough? You? Old enough.
Yeah.
Old enough for Drew.
Yeah, right.
Now they're 17 in a month. 17 in 1 month.
Drew's
but
probably
Drew works combined age. Yeah. That's how he sleeps.
He's probably giving him good advice and making sure that their boundaries are healthy.
Here's his good advice: more lube.
I've had anal sex and I passed out. Anderson's here. Anderson somewhere.
Ian.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, you're 20. What's up?
Yeah, me and my girlfriend we've been together for 2 months, and she's not on birth control. But I use condoms, and I use a spermicidal lubricated condom.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering what else I could do to, like, prevent, you know, pregnancy since she's not on the pill.
You realize this is fertile material for Adam's comedic skills.
No, it isn't.
Oh, okay.
Why?
I don't know. I thought you'd have something very rude to say.
Good times.
Yeah, good times.
Okay.
Well, she's got to get on the pill.
Yeah, I mean,
why is she refusing that?
I really don't know. I mean, I've brought it up a few times, but, I mean, her answer is always like, oh, I just never got around to it, or, something stupid, half-assed, you know, thing like that.
All right, well, if she's really interested in not getting pregnant, then the pill is
the way to
go.
I'm starting to scare her a little bit more with it, you know, like telling her, man, you can get pregnant, you know.
Yeah, what if you just went to family planning together?
Yeah,
just tell her you want to talk.
There's patches.
Right.
You know, there's shots. Just go into a family planning place, have a discussion with her. Just tell her you want to discuss the options. And the spermicide stuff's no good.
Now, maybe she wants to get pregnant. Maybe there's some underlying, some other agenda she has.
Maybe she's a little freaked out about it. She's never done it before. There's all sorts of stories.
Yeah, maybe she smokes and she's afraid of getting a blood clot, or there's cancer in the family and she still thinks she can get...
Here's the thing. The pill is... Being on the pill is better than being off the pill, pretty much, from what I've gathered, if you're a younger, non-smoking woman.
Regulates periods.
Right. So, go to a family planning place with her. Lisa?
Yeah, what's going on?
You're 23?
Yeah. My question is I'm wondering if I should stay in the relationship that I'm in, because I'm kind of starting to, like, doubt my gut feeling. I've been with my boyfriend for about 3.5 years, and we just moved in together about 2 months ago. And problems started about 2 weeks ago. He was saying how he's kind of unhappy with, like, the lack of sex, and so that started a fight. And then, you know, the next day he starts talking to a girl on the phone in our house, like right in front of me. So we get into a big fight, and I ask him what's going on, and that night he doesn't come home till about 4 a.m. and he works till midnight. So I called his work and asked, you know, if he left, and they said yeah. So then when he came home, he said he worked late, and I didn't believe him. So we've been fighting all week. And then just the other day, you know, I asked him, you know, to be honest, I felt he was lying, and he said yeah, that he went out with some friends, and I said, well, were you with the girl you were talking on the phone to? And he said he was. So I'm kind of wondering if I'm being, you know, a fool here, if I'm kind of being played or...
All right. You guys have any kids?
No.
All right. That's good. That's great.
Why are you still there?
Yeah. It just... How long have you been going out with him?
3.5 years.
All right. This thing's coasting to an end.
Well, I mean, the guy just cheated on you.
Probably.
He swears up and down that nothing happened and that he's just unhappy with us and he wants to be able to go out when he wants. And I said,
well, why is he complaining that you guys aren't having enough sex?
I don't know. I don't have as high of a sex drive as he does. I mean, he wants it like every day, three times a day.
Right.
And
all
I'm,
right.
You know, I'm not down with that.
How often do you guys have sex?
It varies. Lately, for the past 2 weeks, we haven't because of all this.
No, but yeah, when but you first general. Year you went out, was it three times a day?
Oh, it was a lot when we first went out, yeah.
Yeah, it's always a
but
lot.
But that was 3.5 years ago.
Okay, listen, Lisa. I don't know if the guy cheated or not. It seems like he was just trying to get under your skin, talking to her in front of you and doing that kind of stuff. If you're really in love with the guy, you guys need to, sort of have an adult, mature conversation, see if you can settle your differences and move forward. But it also sounds like people do this all the time. They get in these relationships at 18 or 19, 3-4 years goes by, they're different people, it's the only real relationship they've had, and then they end up getting married, they get divorced 6 months later. I think you need to break up when you've had a relationship, you met when you're 18 and a half, you're 23 now, it's time to break up.
God is speaking to you through Adam Carolla.
Break it up.
If there were no kids, right?
No kids.
Yeah, so you're
no kids.
Blessed. I mean, you get it. And some guys, this is their way of they're not going to leave on their own. This is their way. They're giving you the scenario.
Yeah.
They're giving you the picture.
Listen,
they want you to leave.
You're still the boat has not left the dock. You can step off onto dry land. But once you have that kid, once you
right.
get married, you're out at sea now. And if you think you're getting to shore, you're going to drown.
Right.
Thank you. We'll be right back. The show. I want to thank, it's the end of the week, so I want to thank a lot of people. I want to thank junior producer Lauren for doing a great job coming through today in a pinch.
And she brought you gourmet coffee tonight.
Bringing gourmet coffee.
Yeah.
Getting Dr. Bruce out here. I want to thank Dr. Bruce for doing a fantabulous job. I want to thank Engineer Ken. Yeah, for doing a great job all week long. And I want to thank for Phone Screener Brian and Phone Screener Tara. Don't call me Tar, goddammit. And Engineer Michelle out here running the board out at the fabulous K-Rock. And again, so four. Dr. Bruce, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.